You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus.
Welcome, friends, to our program, Jesus With Us, Reflections of Joy. I am Nick.
And I'm Mary Angela.
Welcome, welcome.
So happy you could join us.
Yeah, and a big, big hello to our very special friend, Victoria.
Hello, Victoria.
Yeah, she's always listening and loves, and we're so happy she's part of the program. So please take a moment to get ready for this evening. We ask you to take a deep breath, relax, light that candle of hope, maybe have a picture of Mother Mary, the Sacred Heart, or even a crucifix in front of you, or whatever it takes to get into, you know, the moment to listen.
And be present. Our intentions this evening are for all those who are sick, those that are suffering, and those who have passed away.
And we pray for all the people, especially in Turkey, the Middle East, where they had the earthquake, and all the places that have, natural human disasters going on. We pray for those, the people there also.
And so let us begin in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay with me through the busy days of Lent and remind me that when I need comfort, solitude, wisdom, or guidance, I can always turn to you. Help me develop discipline and generosity through fasting and almsgiving and come closer to you through prayer this Lent. In your name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. So this evening we will talk about Lent. So we've already started in February. And the question is, how can we become closer to God in Lent? And the question we'd like to ask everyone out there is, where are you right now in your Lenten journey?
Mm-hmm. We'll also be taking a look at how the desert is a metaphor for Lent. We can use the desert as a meditation for Lent. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about how we can look to Mary in Lent, Mother Mary. And as always, we'll include various prayers and how we can, in the end, how we can find joy in Lent.
Yeah, it's very important. So last year, we asked everyone to maybe be radical, have a radical Lent. But this year we ask you have a methodical Lent.
A meditative Lent.
Meditative Lent. Yeah.
Like more reflective.
Yeah. Sit back and just say, how can I deepen my relationship with Jesus?
So that's so important.
So we're going to get to the basics and just this, go over what Lent is. So what is Lent?
Well, Lent is the 40-day period just before Easter, which the church uses to prepare for the celebration of our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. And that happened, of course, on Easter Sunday.
And so when does Lent typically begin?
It always begins on Ash Wednesday. And so this year we celebrated it in February. It's the day on which the faithful have their forehead signed with ashes in the form of a cross.
So the significance of ashes, what are they, Mary Angela?
Well, they symbolize death and so remind us of our mortality. So when the priest uses his thumb to sign us with the ashes and put a cross on our head, he says, remember that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. And it's modeled after God's address to Adam. And it echoes the words also at burial, where it said, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, which is based on God's words to Adam and Abraham's confession. I am nothing but dust and ashes. And that's in Genesis. So it's a reminder of our mortality and our need to repent before this life is over, when we, and in the end, when we're going to face our Creator, face God.
Yeah.
So, Nick, where do the ashes used on Ash Wednesday come from?
Well, Miranda, they're made by burning the palms we receive,
the branches
we receive from the Palm Sunday from the past year. They are blessed by a priest, and what we use.
And why are ashes from the previous year's Palm Sunday used?
Because Palm Sunday was when people rejoiced at Jesus' triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. They celebrated his arrival by waving palm branches, little realizing that he was coming to die for their sins. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So now that we're into Lent, the three major things we're asked to focus on are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. At the beginning of the Lenten season, we are reminded of the need to make reparations for our sins and be reconciled with God. Any attempt to build a spiritual life that neglects the pillars of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving is like building a house on sand. Mm. So you know what that means. Mm. Not a good foundation. Mm. So prayer purifies our intentions and relates us all we do to God. Fasting teaches us.
Detaches us
mm-hmm. From comfort and from ourselves. Almsgiving reflects of our brotherhood and sisterhood with the poor of Jesus' family, and reminds us that our true wealth is not in things, but in the love of God.
Right.
So we all need to do a reality check on our spiritual lives to make sure we are committed to prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
The second point we'd like to make is to lose the show. So Jesus is very severe in criticizing the hypocrites who parade their works before others to get their attention. Such parades are of no use in pleasing God or making up for our sins. They only add to our sinfulness. So Jesus encourages us to pray in private, to fast and give alms in secret without calling attention of others to what we're doing. In this way, we can be sure we are doing all for the love of God and not for the love of self. Those who make an outward show of piety or generosity have already received their reward in this world, and they store up no treasure in heaven. So let's work silently and discreetly with no one paying attention.
Except
no other intention but to please God alone.
Please God alone.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing,
that's the important part.
Is the big humility word.
Right. Let's be humble.
And so another thing we consider is a joyful sacrifice. Joyful sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
That's, do those words go together?
Yeah.
Nothing brings us closer to Christ than walking alongside him and doing the things he did for love of God and Father. So during Lent, God invites us to purify our hearts and minds and to turn our intentions back to him.
And Christ's public ministry was lived each day in loving obedience to the Father's will. So our Lenten program should reflect the same simple yet demanding obedience and love. What can I do for God today? So these are some questions we can ask ourselves. What can I do for God today? What sacrifice can I offer that will be pleasing to him? And once I decide on it, I hope that I can carry it out with no one else knowing.
Yeah, sounds like a mini examination of conscience.
Right.
And then we also can have conversation with Christ. Jesus, give me the grace to begin. And even during this Lent, we ask for great enthusiasm and love so we don't get down on ourselves, because mm-hmm. sometimes we get so excited at the beginning and then we kind of like taper off, right? And then the resolution, I will make a Lenten program of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving.
And let's do it always with joy in mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the goal, mm-hmm. right? So right now, we're fasting and feasting.
What is the difference?
Yeah. So I will say the fast and Mariangela will say the feast, and then we'll change it up. So fast from judging others.
Let's feast on Christ dwelling in them.
Fast from the emphasis on differences.
Feast on the unity of life.
Fast from apparent darkness.
Feast on the reality of light.
Fast from thoughts of illness.
Feast on the healing power of God.
Fast from the words that pollute.
Let's feast on the words that purify.
Fast from discontent.
Feast on gratitude.
Fast from anger.
Feast on patience.
Fast from pessimism.
Feast on optimism and positivity.
And because when we do, we will become
victorious.
There you go. You hear that, Victoria? Your name came up again. Fast from worry.
And feast on divine providence. Fast from complaining.
Let us feast on appreciation.
Fast from negatives.
Feast on the affirmatives.
Fast from unrelenting pleasures.
Fast on unceasing prayer.
Fast from hostility.
Let us feast on peace.
Fast from bitterness.
Let us choose to feast on forgiveness.
Fast from self-concern.
Let us consider to feast on compassion for others.
Fast from personal anxiety.
Let us feast and trust, Jesus, I trust in you.
Fast from discouragements.
Let us look to and feast on hope.
Fast from acts that tear us down.
Let us feast on acts which build up.
Fast from thoughts that weaken.
Let us feast on the promises on things that inspire.
Fast from idle gossip.
Feast on a purposeful silence.
Fast from problems which overwhelm.
And let us feast on prayer and always keep Jesus at the center. So we just want to go over, is typically 6 or 7 weeks in Lent. And so we start with Ash Wednesday. And the first Sunday is the temptation at Jericho, the 40 days in the desert. And after that, it's usually the transformation with Jesus at the mountaintop. The third Sunday is Jesus with the woman at the well, which Jesus gives the life-giving water.
The fourth Sunday is Jesus heals the blind man. And finally, on the fifth Sunday, we see Jesus raises Lazarus.
Yeah, and that's his friend. Yeah, that's a sign that we now
of
enter
his resurrection.
Yeah, 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 and that we will be entering Holy Week. Mm-hmm. So what happened with Jesus is he got baptized and by St. John, and God said, "This is my beloved who with I am pleased." And so right from there, Jesus is on top of the world, right? He gets baptized, new beginning. Next thing you know, boom, into the desert. Hmm. So 40 days. And so in the desert, right now we will be talking about entering the desert. Some things that Satan does. He gave Jesus the three temptations. So the evil one hits us at an opportune moment when we are alone, when we are lonely, when we are hungry,
when we're down,
when we're tired, all these things. Mm-hmm. So beware. Mm-hmm.
Satan also subtly mixes truth and error in an attempt to deceive.
Yeah, so be careful when, you know, listen closely to what people are saying. What are they really saying?
Mm-hmm. And let's not be duped.
Yeah. Satan also promises pleasure, but he does not mention the inevitable pain. Mm-hmm. And Satan tries to make himself legitimate, trying again with the words, mm-hmm. trying to deceive us.
Deceive us all the time, yeah.
So as we enter into desert, we have some reflections we'd like to share with you.
So out of the desert, we come to Lent, and we might be entering these days beginning on Ash Wednesday, as we have already seen in February, to see the little things that we can give up and to do things that we should be doing, saying extra prayers for this and that. But Lent isn't really about getting away from the desert. But in fact, Lent is precisely about plunging ourselves into the heat of the desert. So we should go in full force. So our Lenten journey is meant to call us deeper into our hearts to see what is there. And what is there are the building blocks that make for world news a part of your life. You know, all over the world news, we hear things about hatred and anger and bitterness, greed, yeah. envy and pride.
Lots of division, things that lead us away from Jesus.
All that's the ugly stuff going on. But are you hungering for change for your life and the life of others around you who needs the good news proclaimed to you? So Lent is really an opportunity for change. Not only in our own life, but in the life of the church. And it's a renewal of hope for all humanity, of different races and creeds, of different languages and cultures. We're all members of the human family with Christ, and we enter this Lenten desert not to punish ourselves or others, but rather to purify and renew ourselves.
Yeah, and it's not just about giving up, but it's also about maybe taking something on.
Right.
So Jesus, before his own ministry began, went into the heart of the desert to understand himself, the reality of temptations, the need to focus on God and to be called out of that desert into action. Jesus went into the heat of the desert precisely to call us out, calling us to be the change that we want to see, proclaiming justice and building the kingdom of God on earth.
So Lent doesn't have to mean, nor should it mean, this simple giving up of things just because you have to do it, you know, giving up. Our sacrifices made during Lent are really meant to bring us towards joy. And what is that joy? It's the joy of freedom and renewal through the power of Christ's resurrection and experience of resurrection. So we must journey through the 40 days in the desert of Lent.
So we have some reflections. We have about 40, but
yeah, that we found.
We'll try and squeeze as much as we can, right?
Yeah.
So
these are meditations on Lent of the 40 days in the desert, right?
Yeah, the desert we learn what is truly necessary for life: food, water, and faithful companionship to Jesus.
In the desert, it's not the billions of grains of sand around you that cause you constant irritation, but rather the few that are tumbling around under your foot, in your boot. How quickly we stop to pour them out if we are wise.
Our impression of the desert is often of a somber emptiness where conditions on the rough ocean of sand are too harsh for life. But really, in truth, the deserts are full of life. The harsh sands teach the desert traveler to travel with care, always aware of the landscape, traveling, you know, early in the morning or late at night, not to, you know, be careful with the sun. It makes us more wise.
In the desert, we often have the privilege of finding our limits, the difficulty of the The desert life teaches us humility. There's that word again, being humble, right?
In the wilderness, it is difficult to forget the reality of death. We are painfully aware that if we fail to find water, we will die. If we fail to find food, we will die. If we do not take care to avoid the venomous serpents, we will die. So it's an awareness. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes open.
Always wide open.
Especially at Lent. It's like, you know, the perfect time.
In the desert, we also clothe ourselves in multiple layers to allow freedom of movement and to protect us from the scorching sun and the freezing night air. So too, in the spiritual desert, we clothe ourselves in multiple layers of almsgiving, fasting, and penance.
Yes, the three pillars. Mm-hmm. The desert is an excellent place to confront the temptations in our lives because it sharpens our focus and limits our distractions, forcing us to focus on survival. The stark emptiness of the desert promotes us to look inward in our own equally stark spiritual emptiness. And yes, we all have that. Our reflections in the ocean of sand showing us that we are in the spiritual desert so that we can sharpen our focus and limit our distractions in the spiritual life, getting us ready for the spiritual warfare that we might face because spiritual survival becomes a priority. Yes. So this is kind of like a training session.
Yes.
If we look at it like that.
Yes. In the desert, as we wander that seemingly endless waves of dunes and just, you know, dryness all around us, we might wonder where the desert came from and why we are in the desert rather in the lush garden for which our hearts yearn.
And that's
so there's that contrast,
right? Yeah, it's similar to the St. Ignatius, you know, desolation and consolation. Mm-hmm. It's the ups and downs.
Right.
So there will be times of desert and there'll be times of lush gardens
right. In
our lives. So in the desert, dust storms arise, obscuring our vision with the billions of small particles. It is dangerous to breathe in the dust, for if we carry illness into our bodies,
it can carry, right?
In dust storm, it is best to close your mouth and your eyes and to keep little as dust possible to enter.
Yeah, we have to keep it out of our bodies.
If necessary, we must cough to expel as many of the particles as we can from our bodies.
So too.
Wow, so many things we need to consider. I didn't know about being in the desert, right?
Yeah. In the same way that the desertification happens to the land when it recklessly is deforested, overcultivated for food, and trampled by herds of animals.
So, yeah, it's what we need to take care of Mother Nature, right?
Right,
this is
right. What
it's saying.
Yeah, let's not be reckless.
Let's not make the rest of the world a desert.
Yeah.
In the desert, during the heat of the day, migraines may appear in our vision.
Mirages.
These mirages, sorry, it's just been a long day.
Yes, yes.
The mirages appear because our vision is limited and often faulty. The truth of it is that the water we believe is present in the distance is heated air through which the sunlight has been made it to look like water.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting? In the desert, also, there's a long silence broken only by blowing sand, and our own weary footsteps often feel oppressive. The silence prompts us to feel the absence of companionship, and it gives us no rest from the rushing of our own anxious thoughts. Yeah, because when we're walking through, we can get a little bit anxious, can't we? You know, when is it going to end? Is this endless, this desert?
In the desert, we are forced to meet ourselves. Our physical weaknesses are frequently on display. Our mental fortitude is showing to wear down quickly in the face of the things we have to face. So we quickly conserve our energy and we don't waste anything in the desert, you know, because if we do, that'll be a distraction and it'll be counterproductive, because the whole point of the desert is to get rid of all these distractions and focus on Jesus.
And our hearts yearn for moments to connect with another person, right? Because in the desert, you're often alone, but there's that longing to connect with somebody. And that's, you know, why, you know, the connection with God, that in the end, we hope to get closer and with our relationship with Him, with God. In the desert, we also must leave behind the comforts we find in, you know, our homes, in the city, in the lush forests, in the ocean, like all the beauty.
The comfort zone.
Yeah, the comfort zone. You're right. And our priorities must change in order to live in the desert. So we must sacrifice many of the comforts in order to retain what's most valuable, and that's life itself.
Wow. All this talk on desert has made us a little bit tired and thirsty. So I think this is a great time for us to take a break. So please
enjoy the song.
Yeah, enjoy the song, take a break, and we'll be back right after the song.
To the desert, follow me.
You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program, Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mariangela Artuso and Nick Mossa.
So welcome back. We hope you enjoyed the break and the song. So just a few more reflections of the desert and how Jesus was tempted. And not only Jesus, but ourselves, because the Lenten journey is like a journey in the desert wilderness, right?
And what we can learn, right, from the desert.
So in the wilderness, Christ faces those most difficult of human temptations, the lure of enjoying comfort food, the lure of attaining absolute power, and the lure of believing that we deserve to be saved because of our own righteousness. And those were the things that the devil tempted him with.
In the desert, we also learn that our greatest enemy is fear. One of our greatest enemies is fear. And it's fear that prompts us to drink all of our water quickly instead of rationing it so that we might live. It's fear that has us spending all of our energy in short bursts to try to escape the desert rather than adapting to it so that we might learn how to live in it. And life in the desert requires us to conquer our fears, to make our choices based not on what is frightening to us, so like trying to run away from it all, right? But rather on what is truly good for us, like how learning how to live with it. Because we can't really, you know, sometimes we can't run away from it.
We have
to face it.
You may run, but you can't hide.
No, that's right.
So in the desert, it is easy to despair. To look at the beautiful sunset and see only the dangers of the cold night ahead. It is much more difficult to hope, to trust that traveling through the dangers of the cold night will help us to grow in strength and wisdom.
Amen to that. In the desert, we also learn that it's best to be grateful for the oasis we reach at the end of our day's journey. We do not harbor any resentment over the difficulties of their journey, but rather delight fully in the joys of the oasis when we get there, right? So that our thirst may be quenched on the water, which is truly necessary for life.
Yeah, and that's what we said, that Jesus gives the life, the water that you drink it, then you'll never be thirsty again, like the woman at the well. In the desert, the experienced traveler knows that while the lush garden that lies not too far ahead is the better destination, it was the dry desert that taught us to appreciate the bounty of water in the lush garden. There's that word, appreciation.
Yes.
And gratitude.
Mm-hmm. And then as we leave the desert following the river of life to the garden, it's only natural that we rush towards the garden with joy, anticipating the abundant life that we will find there. It is the desert which prepares us to live life with loving gratitude for the immense wealth of the garden, for we know what it is like to live without the lush provisions of the garden.
Yeah.
So in the end, it's all leading us to that final celebration of his resurrection.
Yeah, in Jerusalem.
So we have to keep that in mind.
Yeah,
you know?
Because Jericho will lead you to Jerusalem. And speaking of which, we were in the desert of the three temptations where Jesus encountered the evil one. And it was truly powerful. We highly recommend, if you ever get a chance to go to the Holy Land, please do go and spend time. And there's actual monastery where they built on the side of the mountain where they say that this is where Jesus encountered the devil. You know, when he took him to a high spot and he said, this could be all yours. You could have anything you want.
Yeah.
As long as you bow down. And Jesus said, no, not having any of that. Interesting that Jesus never talks to the evil one. He doesn't engage in conversation.
Right,
he
right.
always rebukes the evil one.
Yes.
So just a little bit of something I'd like to share. When you're tempted or things aren't going right, don't fall into that trap.
Right.
Do like model yourself around Jesus.
Yeah. And as we were doing the research for this program, we came across some reflections of looking to Mother Mary in Lent So during Lent, though, we generally think about Jesus' suffering and death. But how often do we think about the suffering of Mother Mary? So, let's look at Mother Mary and what we could learn from her. We could suffer and pray alongside of she, our Blessed Mother, who knew and loved Jesus the most, right? We could learn a lot from her. So the journey of her journey. So Lent is also a journey, and Mary made that journey alongside Jesus during his earthly life. As his mother, she carried him in her womb and experienced the pain of Joseph planning to divorce her. She had no place to stay but a stable when it was time for him to be born, and then had to accept putting her beloved baby Jesus in a manger for a crib.
So Mary trusted in God's will for her son, just as we need to trust in God's will for our lives. She was just as human as we are, feeling physical pain and disappointment and all kinds of heartache. Yet she had an intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So she must have turned everything over to them, which is what we're should be doing during Lent.
Yeah, much like our last program was about, you know, surrendering, right? Turning it over.
Yeah, abandoning all things to God. Mm-hmm. So Lent is a time to become more faithful disciples of our Lord. Mary was Jesus' first and most faithful disciple.
She was a strong disciple, the strongest one of them all.
She kept the faith going. She stayed with him during every moment of his life. She was there at the scourging of Jesus at the pillar.
That must have been difficult for her to watch, right?
Yeah. And we in the Holy Land, we did walk the Via Crucis, and you could, you know, you were there and what she had to suffer. So during his walk on Golgotha, Mary followed his footsteps and was at the foot of the cross.
Yeah, she stood there at the foot of the cross. And in John's gospel, we read about the disciples taking in Mary. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. So by putting ourselves into Mary's hands, she can help form us as a disciple.
So we also look to Mary during Lent. So surrender. Mary learned to surrender her will to God's will. From the moment the angel Gabriel came to announce that she was to be the mother of God, Mary said, "Let it be done to me according to thy word." Lent is about learning to surrender our desires and trust in God.
So meditating on the times in Mary's life when she had to blindly trust shows us the way to trust. From the Annunciation, the Nativity, Presentation, to the wedding at Cana, and finally with our Lord's Passion and Death, Mary died to her desires and trusted in God's plan. So thy will be done, right? She who loved Jesus most teaches us to love Christ more each day and to do whatever he tells us to do. So ultimately, the entirety of Mary's discipleship of her son was through her model of surrendering and of abandoning, right?
Wow, those are two words that we don't use too often today.
And so there's nothing better than we could do this Lent than to surrender to Jesus. And there's no better teacher than his mother.
Yeah. And as we mentioned last month, surrendering is not about giving up. It's about retreating.
Right.
It's about making room, clearing the path. Like we just mentioned in the desert, we really understand what's important, right? To drop all the possessions. Mm-hmm. It's about survival. And the best person.
And making the most of what you're in.
Yeah.
Right?
And reaching
not out. Running away from it, but making it possible to live.
And to keep Jesus on the side, like in our journey.
Yeah, and to ask for his help to get us
always.
Through. To get us through.
So some Lenten prayers and reflections. God, Heavenly Father, look upon me and hear my prayer during this holy season of Lent. By the good works you inspire, help me to discipline my body and to be renewed in the spirit. So we'd like to ask everyone out there, what have you considered going into the deep, going further during this Lent? Maybe we're in a lull.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a, we mentioned, you know, the first couple of weeks, we're all excited. Mm-hmm. We're all pumped up. But now it's kind of like, this is week, like week three or four. It's like,
am I ever going to get through this?
I failed. I'm no good. Yeah. I broke my promises, everything. I said, well, no. It's never too late.
No. Pick yourself up and start again.
And keep going.
Yeah.
And we also mentioned that Lent is not about giving up something. It's also about
taking something on.
Like volunteering, mm-hmm. helping one another, maybe being something you would never want to
Maybe reading some spiritual books.
Maybe volunteer to be a lector to proclaim the word.
So, Father of love, source of all blessings, help me to pass from my old life of sin to the new life of grace. Prepare me for the glory of your kingdom. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever. Amen.
Amen. Another prayer we like to share is, God, Heavenly Father, look upon me and hear my prayer during this holy season of Lent. You are the source of my life. I reach out with joy to grasp your hand. Let me walk more readily in your ways. Guide me in your gentle mercy, for this is something that is what during Lent is what we strive to do more, to be with our Lord. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
Because we got so much going on in our lives. We got work. We have family responsibilities. We're doing so many things. And then we forget, oh boy, I forgot to dedicate time with the Lord.
Yeah. So let's try to always make time.
So at this moment, one of our favorite segments of the show is the amazing words and phrases. So this, you can relate to Lent, your desert journey, your journey in life. These are all things what, you know, we encounter, what we will be encountering the next weeks leading up to Easter. So words like awareness, appreciation, affection, adoration. We need to be more authentic. We have to learn to abandonment to divine providence.
There's compassion, there's clarity and caring, there's communion, there's clarity, there's coping with what we're going through. There's being diligent as we go through this Lent.
Another word is
discipline too.
Discipline and discerning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When we go through this, we say, well, what are we doing this for, right? Is it for, some people might think it's making them further away from Jesus, but it's not. You discern, you know, we need to become more courageous. As Marian just said, discipline is a powerful word. Mm-hmm. We look to Jesus' divine mercy. Another thing that we encounter during this Lenten season is endurance.
Yeah, getting us through.
Yeah, getting us through this fidelity, fortitude.
And having a focus to get us through.
Focus. Very true. Focus. Sorry, I just had a moment where, you know, focus, I like the words focus is, we first, obedience, Christ, unstoppable and surrender.
Hmm.
So that's why I had to stop.
The acronym of focus.
Yeah, I had to put the word together, right?
Interesting.
Gratitude.
Holy Spirit. Always let the Holy Spirit in to get us.
Yeah, because that's how we started on this Lenten journey.
And there's humility too, helping us get through it all, right? Being humble.
Other things we'd like to share is to let go and let God.
Mm-hmm.
It's a manifestation in the desert. So in the desert or Lenten journey, we have lots of time for meditation and prayer.
Being mindful too.
So what happens in the desert, Maranja? We are on a
mission to get through. We are overcome. Hopefully,
that's our attitude, right?
Attitude towards,
to get over this mm-hmm. period. And here's something I like to say. Does Lent really end? Maybe let's consider extending
right.
what we've done in Lent yeah. to the next phase
in our life. Because we continuously in our journey must always strive to get closer and closer to God.
Yeah, the journey's
build
not
our
over.
Relationship.
It's a journey leading to another journey.
Mm-hmm. And let's hope that it brings us peace through our prayers during Lent, right? And to persevere always.
Yeah, persevere. That's another powerful word. Another thing we...
And always look for joy.
Well, ultimately, it's going to be joy in the desert. It's hard if you're thirsty and tired. But if we focus on the prize, which is Jesus, he will bring us that joy.
Mm-hmm.
Even moments of joy, those moments of joy, it's like when you find a little bit of water or you find something to eat, it's like,
a little glimpse,
Wow, it gives
Which
us that
leads
hope.
Ultimately to the fantastic, ultimate joy in his resurrection.
So other words are to be resilient. We mentioned to have, last year was to have a radical Lent, like just sometimes you just need to stop and just go a different direction. Don't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just do it. But this year we're asking you to be more methodical. And that means for more meditation and prayer or whatever works for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have something different, something new, or even the same old thing that you do, we suggest do it.
And hopefully we will continually sacrifice. Be in self-control. We will survive. And
in the desert, we will face our Lenten journey is a lot of solitude.
Right.
Right. We will and we are survivors.
Right.
In this time period. Because we have to tolerate a lot of the things that we're not used to, like maybe keeping quiet, not causing gossip, keep things to ourselves.
Let's hope we are unstoppable.
Yeah.
And let's hope in the end we'll be triumphant and victorious.
You hear that, Victoria? Your name came up again.
There we go. There we go.
So we also have phrases as Jesus is our focus, our hope. Jesus lifts us up. Jesus will always raise us up. And he makes us awaken and enlightened.
Jesus is mercy. He's the light. Jesus loves you. Jesus is our savior. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus forgives. He is joy. He is patience. He is open.
And he never condemns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So again, we found this other piece about, talking about finding those glimpses of joy. So here we found a piece, a reflection on finding joy of Lent, which is possible when viewing through the right lens. So here we hear, it can be difficult to imagine how it's even possible to have joy during Lent. Those of us who give up the regular indulgences of ordinary time, like chocolate, caffeine, fast food,
alcohol,
we can find ourselves feeling melancholy, even downright cranky, but we shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Don't have a grumpy Lent.
Don't have a
joyful one.
So, because what's the point? What's the point? That's not helping you to get closer to God, right? So, here we're geared to focus on the penitential nature of Lent. Focusing our sins isn't particularly pleasant, but as Pope Francis noted in in his World Communications Day address or message for 2017, it's on how we look at things. He says, life is not simply a bare succession of events, but a history, a story waiting to be told through the choice of an interpretive lens that can select and gather the most relevant data. In and of itself, reality has no one clear meaning. Everything depends on the way we look at things, on the lens we use to view them. If we change that lens, reality itself appears different. So how can we begin to read reality through the right lens?
So for Catholics, the answer lies in the good news found in the gospel. We all know where Lent leads. That is to his resurrection.
That's the ultimate, you know, joy, right?
Yeah, and there's no resurrection without the Good Friday. With that bigger picture in mind, consider ways in which we might experience joy during Lent. Keep in mind, we're asked to do these things with the joy and, of course, the Holy Spirit.
And it's the joy of the Holy Spirit in particular. So consider personal spiritual growth and becoming close to the Lord. Acts of penance and the joy that comes with thinking of and doing for others.
So it's like thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
Like, just stretch ourselves out there, right? Uniting ourselves with Christ's suffering. Living out the gospel message in our thoughts, words, and actions.
And it goes on to say this reflection that there was an author, Marilyn Gustin, who wrote a book called Choosing Joy for Lent. And in this book, it's noted that we are transformed when we seek joy in life. This author suggests several methods of transforming ourselves when we seek joy in life. That's through detachment. Again, there's that word detachment. Surrender through contentment, non-injury, discipline, and contemplation. These are all ways of being open to the power of the Holy Spirit.
So we know that finding joy in Lent might be a challenge. Our culture is overwhelmed with words and actions that are contrary to respect for human life in its many stages. Disagreements with others who don't hold the same values have become much more than disagreements. Oftentimes, there's a complete breakdown of communication, giving people labels or placing them on sides. And that's what the devil does. He divides.
Right,
he divides, makes division, whereas Christ comes to unite.
So during Lent, we're called to seek out how Christ's example of how he communicated with others. We're called to unite ourselves, not detach ourselves, but unite ourselves with Christ's suffering on the cross, a part of God's salvific plan for humankind. And through his suffering, we must look for the joyful signs and the bigger picture of what God has planned for us.
We can start by shifting our lens of the good news on the small things in life. Lent is a time for reflection, which helps us grow. It's a time for reconciliation and forgiveness comes with an overwhelming feeling of joy. It's a letting go because, you know, we hold on to so many things. You feel like you lost 10 pounds when you come out of the confessional. So it's a time of reaching out to others who might have different views than us and finding commonalities or middle ground.
Yeah, so there's always that middle ground and common things that you can find. So when we do those things and when we contemplate Christ's salvation as a gift, we are left with a feeling of gratitude and we give thanks to God. And that is joy, giving thanks, right? And the gratitude we feel.
Yeah. So at this present time, just to recap, the whole evening was about
Lent.
Yeah, Lent.
We can prepare.
Our desert journey. Where are we?
Go through, yeah.
So the show, it wasn't about answers. It's about questions and reflections.
Yeah, continued questions and reflection. And we used the desert as a metaphor for Lent. We looked at Mother Mary, how her example you know, look to her example.
She was always there during the Lenten journey with Jesus and with us. So we hope we're able to, you know, put give you some ideas, thoughts, prayers.
Be methodical. Methodical.
Yeah. And we thank you for listening and being part of the show. And we would like to close
with a prayer.
With a beautiful Lenten prayer.
So Almighty and Everlasting God, you have given the human race Jesus Christ, our Savior, as a model of humility. He fulfilled your will by becoming man and giving his life on the cross. Help us to bear witness to you by following his example of suffering and make us worthy to share in his resurrection. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, dear friends, listeners. We hope you continue your Lenten journey. And it doesn't end at Easter. Let's continue to keep on that path. And ultimately, the path leading us to joy, the joy with Jesus.
So we hope you enjoyed the program. We say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Take care.
And
God bless.
God bless. And keep up those great things you do in your Lenten journey.
May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. And may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you. May the joy of Jesus be with you. May you know the joy of Jesus, and may the joy of Jesus be with you.
You have been listening to Jesus with Us, Reflections of Joy, hosted by Mary Angela Artuso and Nick Massa.